The operator just need to inform all participants that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect your lines at this time, and you may begin.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Carlos and Roy, for joining today. And also thanks, Natalie, for being there. We are going to review the comments sent by Chuck, which, as far as we know, are the only ones we have received to our draft charter. And I did review it yesterday night, and I already sent some comments about the different items that he is pointing. So let's go one by one. First, there is a difference that he stressed among strategy and, which is the other, tactics. I must confess, I cannot tell the difference being a Spanish-speaking person. And so perhaps, Julie, Roy, you could, I don't know, Carlos, if you have the same feeling, but perhaps you guys that do speak English as your mother tongue could help us with that. I think that perhaps he is right, but I cannot tell the difference.
Yeah, it's the same for me.
And Roy, what do you think?
So this is Roy speaking. I think where he's referring here is to is just to make sure that we have the overall purpose of the task force, as well as the steps of what we want, the steps of what to actually do to implement them. Right. So overall plan plus operational plan. Does it make sense?
And which are the changes to the text that you would suggest that we could do? I think that if he is right and you think that he is proposing a right change, let's do that. But I cannot tell how.
This is Julie.
Hi, this is Debbie. I just wanted to tell you I joined.
Yeah, hi, Debbie. Thanks so much.
Debbie, how are you?
We just Debbie, we just started on looking at Roy, at Chuck's comments, and Olga had you know sort of appended some comments to them, and I've put them in the Adobe Connect room.
I see.
The first one was Chuck's comment about where we talk about strategy, but you know that we should also talk about tactics. Tactics being the implementation of the strategy, You know, Roy was saying, too, that, you know, there's sort of that, you know, where we talk about a strategy, but, you know, do we need to make it more clear that we're also talking about sort of the, operationalizing or implementing that strategy? And Olga was asking, where would we make a change in the text? And I'm just kind of looking at the text here to think about that.
But Olga, can I get in the queue?
Yeah, well, go right ahead.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. So this is Debbie, and this is an issue that's near and dear to my heart, if you may remember, Julie and Olga. When we started, remember, we were very detailed about some of the specifics that we wanted to recommend, and then what we decided to do was to kind of step back away from being very specific about specific deliverables, right? And so while I encourage and generally support the idea that you don't want to say let's form a group that's going to do global outreach and just kind of leave it to them to figure out how we're going to actually implement that strategy, I fully support that. I'm now just wondering, it seems like we're kind of coming back around where we were in the beginning, which is good news for me. I just now don't know how detailed we should be and what kind of tactics do we want to be specific about. So, Roy, just to kind of give you some backdrop, you know, we had outlined some real specific things about ways to execute the strategy. And so I'm trying to get a sense from the feedback you're getting, what level of detail from an implementation perspective are we talking about? Because as I view the word tactics, I completely understand what you're saying. So and I think I understand, let me just say that when we talk about a strategy, the strategy is outreach, then how do we implement that strategy? And the tactics align with certain objectives. So you should do this type of program. You should have this type of outreach document. You should have this type of advertising vehicle. I understand that. I guess I would love to hear what your group was thinking about from a level of specificity.
Yeah, and I would be completely speaking on Chuck's behalf if I tried to answer that, because the short answer is I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So this is Julie. I'm looking again at Chuck's comment, and I'm wondering if he's not necessarily asking for a lot of detail, but asking for us to include not only the term strategy, where we say that we're developing an executable strategy, but also a strategy and tactics, or strategy and implementation plan, perhaps. I mean, the term I'm kind of more familiar with rather than tactics is an implementation plan. He says tactics for implementation of the strategies, so I don't really know, I don't quite understand the distinction there. But, Carlos, I see you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I think the Chuck comments, I think the Chuck to be more precisely, but when you are or try to be exquisite in the language, I think there are more possibilities to complicate the meaning of the charter. I have no make I didn't make comments, because for me the charter is very clear, what is the intention of the working group. So some things, some comments made by Chuck are interesting, but in some others are redundant in my point of view.
But can I ask you this difference he stressed in between strategy and tactics? Perhaps we can do some changes in the text, and maybe he likes it better, and we are okay with that. That was my first intention of the question.
See, and I was, this is Julie, I was thinking what he was suggesting is that every place where we say global outreach strategy, we append tactics, and tactics. So it'd be GNSO global outreach strategy and tactics address gaps in outreach. And that was all. I was really sort of looking at his statement as just being, well, we're not really talking about a strategy. We're also talking about kind of how we want to implement, we'll be wanting to talk about how the group will be coming up with ways to implement the strategy. I mean, the task force will. We don't have to put, I don't think, all of those details in the charter, because that's part of what this group is going to be doing. Although we do have, I think, quite a few details as far as, what we're going to do in our objectives, and all of our goals, and we have deliverables and time frames. So it's fairly detailed. So I thought what he was getting at, and I could be wrong, was just every place that we say strategy, we also say and tactics.
I particularly
see a big difference. Yes, Carlos, sorry.
No, just a little comment. I think when Chuck say tactics, I think he want to say implementation.
Yeah, that was my. This is Julie. That, Carlos, I agree. I mean, that's the word I sort of would gravitate to. That makes, because there you've got a strategy and then you've got an implementation plan. Those are sort of the two key pieces.
And tactics is more oriented to implementation. That's
right. I mean, I think of tactics as ways to implement something. If you had an implementation plan, a tactic could be, I'm sorry, I'm not coming up with any good examples. Roy, what do you think?
No, I agree. I agree. I don't know that to respond to this particular comment that there's a lot of changes that need to be done to the charter. I think we're getting into the boundary between what goes in the charter and what the team actually does. right, what the task force actually does, because the task force will be developing tactics and will be running with and implementing those tactics.
Thank you, Roy. This is Julia. And I think that's maybe what Chuck's point was, is that in addition to developing a strategy, the outreach, there will also be an strategy and implementation plan, that there's sort of two pieces to that. So a simple change would be to simply add "and implementation plan" wherever we talk about strategy.
Okay, I think that's a good idea. What do others think?
Hi, Olga, this is Debbie, and I agree, and I think Chuck is so experienced with how to get things done within ICANN. I really defer to him on this point. I mean, I think he's raising really good points, and so I want to make sure that the charter we create is going to, you know, give enough guidance and so that it can actually be implemented throughout the community.
Okay. Julie, would you help us doing those changes?
Yes. What I'll do after this meeting, this is Julie, is I'll produce a redlined document and probably just give everyone a few days to look at it, and then perhaps what we could do is send that redlined document to Chuck to look at, to see if we've addressed his questions. Roy, do you think that would be an appropriate way forward to deal with Chuck's comments?
I think so. The only other thing to keep in mind is and I know it's all on the top of our mind, is Dakar, because I'm pretty sure he'll be going. So
right. And I was actually thinking
around.
If we get, depending on, you know, Chuck's usually quite responsive. So
right.
if we get, you know, if he comes back to us and says, yeah, I think, you know, you've answered my questions or no or whatever, you know, I mean, the next step would be to produce a new document for the council to consider. Ideally, if we can meet the document deadline, which I'm not positive we can, but, you know, it would be to have it on the agenda in Dakar.
Yeah.
So we'll see, because I think the document deadline is, well, I know the motion deadline is Tuesday. But I think I'll have to check with Glenn, because I think there's maybe more flexibility to have things be able to be added to the agenda later than that, but I'll check on that.
Sorry, I didn't follow that part. So what was Roy talking about, the document in the GNSO?
Yeah, if we could get a quick response from Chuck, you know, conceivably we could produce another version of the charter with his changes for the council to consider in Dakar. But my only concern is I don't know what the deadline is for, you know, getting it on the agenda, you know, and getting the documents out there, because usually there needs to be a bit of time, you know, for people to be able to review documents before the meeting.
Yes. You can check that with Glenn, and in the meantime, we do the changes.
Yeah, I think we just proceed as we can and do a red line version, check it by Chuck, see what he thinks, and then take it from there.
Great.
So moving on, this is Julie, moving on to his next comment. He's looking at the scope section and querying some of the language. Because he thinks the intent is good, but the beginning seems awkwardly worded. It says, and the way it reads in the document is, the OTF's operational plans and activities should further a valid, cost-saving, and useful purpose, et cetera. His concern is with the word further being used as a verb. He says that implies that there's already an outreach purpose. Is the purpose that is the focus or a plan that should be furthered? I think I understand what he's getting at. It isn't ideally worded, I don't think. Let me just add it again. The OTF's operational plans and activities. I think the word we're probably looking for there, rather than further, is like it should promote, perhaps. But promoting a purpose, I think his point is that, you know, how do you promote a valid, cost-saving, and useful purpose? purpose is, you know. Roy, what do you think? I'm trying to see if I can get to what he's saying.
You see, this is too much for my English.
I know. It's too refined. And I have to say that because it is, and this is probably my wording, because it isn't worded as well as it could be, it is confusing. He's right. I mean, I would suggest that it could be worded like this. The OTF's operational plans and activities I would even just take out should further valid cost-saving useful purpose and say just the OTF's operational plans and activities should, one, consolidate human and financial resources relating to, two, create efficiency, three, produce an executable strategy and implementation plan. And
yeah, you kind of said that I did, Julie. I think that's it.
Yeah,
I
mean,
I like it. Yeah.
Further a valid cost-saving
yeah, that sounds good.
Purpose is confusing.
Right.
That's what I'll do.
Glenn is saying that the document deadline for the council meeting in Dakar is 18th of October, next Tuesday.
It is Tuesday, yeah. Well, that might be...
Because we only have to talk with Chuck.
Right.
And see if he likes the changes. Maybe, Roy, you can help us with that. And...
What I can do is I could just, this is Julie, I could go ahead and, if we're agreeing to the changes here today, and, you know, they seem to be, if they end up being pretty straightforward, I could just go ahead and send the document today to Chuck copying all of the rest of you. I mean, I know Chuck really well. But it could also just come from you, Roy, if you would prefer, sending the document to Chuck and then ask if he might be able to, you know, give us a response by, say, you know, COB Monday or something like that.
Either way, I'll tell you what I'm doing right now. I actually just now saw an email come through from Chuck on another matter.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're doing this review, let me send him a quick email and see if he responds, since he appears to be online.
Ah, good. That's excellent. Thank you, Roy.
Right.
Here, Carlos has made a comment. Maybe we can say when we talk about scope, give more efficiency and effectiveness to the purpose. I like that, too. I'll try to work that in. I think that what we were trying to achieve with that wording, which we can certainly correct, was, to bring in the idea of the efficiency and effectiveness of the, you know, of what, the OTF operational plans and activities are. So, and this I think maybe relates to Chuck's next comment as well. He says, also, I can understand that cost-effective tactics are very important, but it's hard for me to imagine how additional outreach can be cost-saving. I think it will involve added costs. But if it is to happen, tactics will need to be cost-effective. I think that gets to your point, too, Carlos.
No, my point is when we say efficiency and effectiveness, we are saying all the other words. So, for me, it's a complete sentence, no need more. So, but it's my humble opinion.
Thank you, Carlos. So, I'm just looking at the charter with I think. Let's see. Just trying to look at what Chuck says. Let's see. I understand that cost-effective tactics are very important. hard to. Okay, so I think he's going back to the first part of that. Create efficiency, avoid duplication of effort. I don't see where it's that exact language that he mentions is in our document. I'll have to look a little bit more closely. And when I'm looking at scope, I don't see, in his comment he says, I can understand that cost-effective tactics are important. Where is he picking that up from? Rating efficiency. I'm just trying to see if I can find where he's looking at in the text. Yeah, we don't actually use, I guess he's referring to his own comment, because we don't actually use the term cost effective in the document. So he must be,
I think that this is kind of the idea that he's getting from the text.
I think you're right.
And I think what we are intending to say is that we should be working effectively with any budget that we have for outreach. I think this is the idea behind the any text that we have written.
Excuse me, Tony Harris joining. Sorry, I'm late.
Tony, how are you?
Hi,
Tony. We're making our way through Chuck's comments, and we're at the part where he had commented on the scope, and we're suggesting some sort of cleaner language for that section, because he's right, there was some, it was confusing the way it was written. And then he's got a further comment to that. He talks about how, you know, it's important to, you know, have cost-effective tactics, but he notes that it's hard for him to imagine how additional outreach can be cost-saving, but although it'll add, you know, it'll involve added costs, the tactics will need to be cost-effective. So Carlos was saying, too, that we could put in language that emphasizes the efficiency and effectiveness of the effort. So this is in the scope, and I was going to suggest some wordsmithing in there to simplify and clarify that language.
Thanks, Julie. I did read these comments, and I respect Chuck for his great experience with these things, so I was giving it some thought myself, too.
Good. Thank you. So do we want to move to his next comment, which is on Section 3 and the membership criteria?
Yes.
Excuse me, Julie?
Yes, please go ahead, Roy.
Just got emailed back from Chuck. He said he should be able to. He said I asked him if we got him updated language today, would he be able to turn around by end of day Monday? He said he should be able to.
Oh, that's excellent.
Okay.
Thank you very much for that.
Sure.
Okay, good. Well, then, so on the next one, Chuck is saying a steering committee makes sense if there are lots of members of the task force, but I would not assume there will be. There are a small number of volunteers under 10. A steering committee may not add much value. I think that when I read this comment, I thought that maybe we didn't make it clear enough in the charter that we were expecting the task force itself to be fairly large. I think we have some text in there where we talk about that it would be at least 50 members.
My idea, Julie, is that the task force was quite small and dynamic, and then have kind of an advisor committee, which could be large. Large enough to have people from different regions and from different participation spaces in each region. I mean, universities, NGOs, government, people that it's not deeply involved in ICANN but could be a reference for outreach. And that is a larger number. And that doesn't necessarily be people to be in conference calls or working with the task force. That was at least the idea that we had when we discussed this. I don't know if Debbie that was in previous stages of this document, perhaps she can add some comment about it. This was at least my understanding.
This is Julie. It actually is in the charter. We talk about the task force as a whole being broad, so the OTF members, we say the steering committee would recruit OTF members from each ICANN region with the goal that the OTF include 7 members from each of the 5 ICANN geographical regions for a total of 35 regional members and 47 total OTF members. Although there is no limit on the size of the OTF, the goal would be to maintain no more members than are necessary to ensure that there is broad participation, et cetera. So we do talk about at least 47 members of the OTF as a whole. And I'm just wondering if maybe we need to make that more clear up front, that we do think it's a fairly good-sized group, and that's why we're suggesting a steering committee.
About the steering committee, my example for the steering committee was the multi-stakeholder advisory group for the IGF. We are about 50 people from all over the world, and from in each region, we are from different stakeholder groups.
Right, but roughly what we say.
But we are not the core group that works in the IGF, which is 5 people, and they do all the operational work. But what we do is we work in the agenda, we work in the main issues of the agenda, we do outreach, and we do some regional activities. So that was my, and it has been working very well for 7 years so far. So having that experience, and it's not costly because we work online. That was my idea based on that experience.
And Olga, this is Julie. I think that's what we've captured in the charter, but I don't know if it's clear because Chuck was suggesting that the OTF as a whole he would expect would be small, and so there wouldn't be a need for a steering committee. And I'm just wondering if we need to make it clearer that we have a steering committee because we're expecting a fairly broad group of volunteers for the OTF as a whole. Roy, what do you think I'm characterizing Chuck's comments correctly?
I think so. We had said somewhere, and I apologize, this is escaping me right now, or maybe we had said it in a meeting but didn't put it in the documentation, something about like a cap of 50?
Well, we didn't put a cap in there, actually. What we were debating about that.
Right.
So what we did say, though, is what we say is although there is no limit on the size of the OTF, the goal should be to maintain no more members than are necessary to ensure that there is broad participation, that there are volunteers who are willing to provide their time and efforts, and that the size does not hinder the ability of the OTF to complete its work in a timely fashion. And prior to that, we talk about having 7 members from each of the 5 ICANN geographical regions for a total of 35 regional members and 47 total OTF members, that is, including the steering committee, so 35 plus 12. So we're sort of putting out there 47 total members as a starting point, I think.
Yeah, so if I go back to his comment.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, please, Carlos.
Another short comment. At the beginning, I was in agreement with the charter, but after to read the Chuck comments, I think it's better to have a short steering committee. But I think is needed to talk more about it. I'm not sure.
I didn't get your comment. You're not sure about what?
About 60 members or 10 members. I don't know what is better. I understand your position, Olga.
It's based in one of the experiences that I have. It's not that it should be followed. I mean, it's working for the IGF. Perhaps we can refine it and make it smaller. Debbie, what do you think? Because you were in the process of doing this
document. I don't know. I go back and forth with this. Could go either way, to be frank.
If we can refine the that's my idea now, and see what you think. If the idea of copying the model of the IGF, it's awkward, that's no problem with me. We can go smaller. What I would avoid to have, it's only one person per region, because that is very frequently seen in ICANN, and that it's extremely bad. And I could give you thousands of examples, but I won't go through that in this call. And at least I would say for region have two or three people, because if not, it becomes the power of someone doing things for a whole region. And that for Latin America happens very frequently. I don't know in other regions. You know, Carlos, what I mean.
I think it's something that is different from what you're saying, Olga. I think Chuck is questioning the size of the steering committee.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, not the size of the OTF. So he's not questioning whether or not we need to have fewer people from each region. He's questioning whether or not we need to have 12 members in the steering committee. What do you think, Roy?
This is Roy. I think he is questioning the size of the OTF, because he's saying if your OTF is sufficiently small, then and I think he gives the example under 10, you don't need a steering committee as a subset of 10 people.
Right, but is what I don't understand, and maybe I'm just being obtuse, but we say in the charter that we're expecting to have at least 35 people in the OTF as a whole.
Right. And so I think there is a disconnect somewhere between maybe Chuck didn't see that part, or I'm not sure. But
that's what made me wonder if maybe what we need to do is right when we talk about the membership criteria, right at the top, talk about the steering committee and the size and the OTF and the size right in that first paragraph. Because you're right, I mean, we don't talk about the OTF as a whole until after we talk about the steering committee. So, you know, and I don't know that we need to go into the detail in that first sort of introductory paragraph under membership criteria. We can then describe what, you know, we could say, you know, the OTF shall, you know, consist of a steering committee of 12 members and an advisory body of 35 members as described below, or something like that. And the reason I think we struggled with the size of the steering committee and came up with 12 because, you know, because we thought it was important to have a representative from each of the stakeholder groups and constituencies, because we really do want to make sure that we're not duplicating what they're doing in outreach. You know, we wanted to have a chair and a vice chair. You know, we wanted to have a liaison from the GNSO Council. Now, we could conceivably, the chair or the vice chair could be the liaison, so we could eliminate a position there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And but then we also wanted to have a liaison from ICANN, who is someone involved in outreach, so we're not, again, duplicating what ICANN may already be doing with respect to outreach activities. So just sort of counting this up, if we eliminated the liaison from the council and said that person was you know, a chair, you know, who is also a liaison to the council, and a vice chair, so that's two. And then, let's see, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, at least. And then, it'd be 10 if you don't count the support staff, but, and so, you know, and actually, really, we typically don't count the support staff, so you could leave that off, and I think we'd be at 10 instead of 12. What do you guys think?
I think that's good. I would like to read it once you've changed it, but I think it's a good idea.
What do others think?
Sounds reasonable to me.
This way sounds okay.
Okay. What I'll do is right after this meeting, I'll send around the redline version. But it basically, what we do is I will put up front in the paragraph under membership criteria the size of both the steering committee and the OTF, you know, as a whole, and then note that, you know, in reference the description below, and then we'll go into this description of each, the steering committee. And I think I'll give them each a header, too, so it kind of makes it more clear. Steering committee, and that would be 10 members. We'll make the chair, a chair who also is a liaison to the GNSO Council and a vice chair. We'll take out, then we don't have a liaison position, and we eliminate the support staff position since that's really just assumed. In fact, you know, I can put somewhere in the first paragraph, you know, staff support provided or something. I mean, that's sort of a given. And so then when, you know, and then I can say further down, you know, the OTF as a whole should be comprised and so on. So that maybe that will call it out a little bit clearer that we're talking about sort of two different things. And when we send note back to Chuck, I can, and what I'll do is I'll propose, when I send this to all of you, I'll propose a draft response to Chuck. And basically, I think this one is something that we want to maybe call out and say, you know, here's how we've, you know, we do think that this is going to be a larger body of at least, you know, 40, you know, I guess it would be 45 since we're down to 10, 45 people, you know, and so we do think that there's a need for a steering committee and that that's a, you know, and that's based on, you know, experience that, you know. Olga, the group that you have experience with that's arranged that way, what are they called again?
A multi-stakeholder advisory group for the IGF. It's called the MAG, M-A-G. M-A-G.
Okay.
What we do is the agenda of the Internet Governance Forum, and we are advisors of the Secretary General of the United Nations. We have never seen him, but we are advisors.
Okay. So I'll make that note, too, so he can see where we've pulled that structure from.
Great.
Is that acceptable to everyone, Carlos? What do you think?
I'm confused. I don't
okay.
know. Really, it's difficult to decide about this. I understand the Olga experience. I don't know, really.
So you're suggesting maybe that we shouldn't have a steering committee, or I'm not sure I understand.
So what's your proposal?
Olga, can I get in queue, Tony Harris?
Sure, Tony. Carlos, you want to think about it and we hear Tony?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Tony.
Well, I'm sorry, I have been a little remiss in following this too closely due to a workload, but I do wonder, when is the call going to go out for volunteers?
So that's a good question, and I think I'm going to have to adjust the time frames we have in this a little bit. what has to happen is first the charter has to be approved by the council. And then once so the stage that we've been in so far, Tony, is just to see if the stakeholder groups or constituencies had any comments on the charter before we sent it to the council for, for approval. And then once the council approves it, then we'd establish the chair, the vice chair, and the steering committee. So there would be a volunteers call first for the steering committee composition, and volunteers for chair and vice chair, and then we would develop recruitment materials, and a webinar, and that would be part of the broader recruitment, because one of the things we talked about on one of the calls was that in order to really get the right set of volunteers, there's going to be a certain amount of education that's going to happen, you know, so that people, you know, really understand what this effort might be and how they could contribute. So so we're kind of anticipating that the recruitment effort will take a little bit of time. So there's really kind of two stages for volunteers. There's the call for those to be the chair, vice chair, and steering committee, and then there's the sort of the larger development of the call, a recruitment call for the sort of the broader group, the group of 35.
I understand. So basically we have no idea right now how many people would eventually volunteer.
Right.
And hopefully there'll be a lot, but and perhaps the amounts we've mentioned, you know, so many people here, so many people there, I'm just wondering if that's actually going to happen.
That's a good question. Olga, what do you think?
Well, yeah, it depends on how you consider volunteering. If we go into the ICANN regular atmosphere and community, maybe we don't get so many, but that's the challenge, and that's the challenge with outreach. If we don't bring in more people that it's in the boundary and it's interested but not inside the community, and that I cannot tell if we will get so many. Perhaps what we could do is establish kind of two steps issue. At the beginning, having a smaller one and perhaps revising that in the future. Having less volunteers at the beginning, and when the outreach efforts start to give their results, bringing more people.
Well, I agree with that, because I think the problem is if we put in writing expectations as to the amounts of people who will be available for these tasks, it may just not, there may not be enough.
I know.
I think it's
so what
Chuck is saying, really.
Why don't you put a minimum number, say no less than?
Yeah, that sounds probably a safer way to go,
because
until we can see what the
time,
interest is.
If the outreach works, that we can get more volunteers. So the MAC has volunteers, and we are 50 all over the world. But that took a while, and at the beginning it was more kind of controversial, who is in there and who is appointed and all that. You know, these are processes. It's not one day thing. So perhaps we can put a minimum, no less than, and keep it like that and see what happens. And no less than should be a fine number, that it's not too large and that doesn't bring a lot of expectations to have a lot of volunteers.
Sounds like a good idea, yeah.
So if I were to make that change, this is Julie, so looking at the section on the recruitment for the larger for the OTF as a whole, where we say the steering committee should use its best efforts to encourage and recruit potential OTF members from each ICANN region, with the goal that the OTF include no fewer than 7 members from each of the 5 ICANN geographical regions, et cetera, for a total of 35 regional members, and it would be then 45 total OTF members, including the steering committee. Is that what you had in mind?
Yes.
Does that answer your point, Tony?
Yes, I think it also answers Chuck's concerns also in a certain measure.
Good. Well, thank you very much. So moving on to the next comment, and I think that's a particularly good one, is that Chuck notes the dates listed should be designed to fit with ICANN's budgeting cycle. It's a very good point. I mean, it will need to make sure that there are funds identified in the FY13 budget, and that really means, I think, that I need to add a step in the timeline deliverable process, and that would include staff, including a budget request, and that happens. Really, that should start right at the beginning of the year, because I know we'll be kicking off the review of the budget framework, I think, in Dakar, and I think by the beginning of the year, you know, the various SOs and ACs will need to put in, at least begin to put in their requests for budget items, you know, for consideration, you know, which then, of course, is, you know, the budget requests are adopted. The budget is adopted in at the meeting in June.
I think the comment from Chuck is very good, and that we can adjust to. We can get this information. You can get that information, and we can adjust to the
date. I'll put that in. I actually am quite familiar with it because I have to do the budget request.
So I think that's quite reasonable and been very, very good comment. Sorry.
I'll adjust the timeline accordingly. And then he also says, I'll do that with the budget. You know, the budget process. So I'll add that to the deliverables. And then his next point on roles, function, and duties, again, he says he thinks that the steering committee of 12 is too large, might be difficult to get more than 12 volunteers for the entire task force. And he suggests designing the steering committee with more flexible criteria to be able to use it or not and staff it or not according to the eventual task force size. I think we've addressed that with respect to, you know, we've reduced the size of the steering committee to 10, but we've also noted that we're saying that we'll have at least 35, through our recruitment efforts, have at least 35 members in the, you know, beyond the steering committee itself, for a total of 45 members with the steering committee. But what do others think?
This is Roy. This is Roy. I think that's a good goal, but to echo Tony's concern, if the size of the eventual task force winds up being much smaller than that, or you know, a dozen or so, we should still be prepared to carry out the goals, but we just might have to. We have to adjust accordingly based on the person power that we have.
Do you have a particular change in the document?
No.
I think what his point is here, too, is that essentially, and I think this gets to what you were saying, too, Tony, perhaps, is that, you know, the steering committee is predicated on the assumption that we will have a large task force as a whole of at least 35 other people beyond the steering committee. If we didn't get that many volunteers, then what do we do? I mean, do we need to have that big of a steering committee, or does the steering committee in a way become the task force? I mean, if we have I don't really have an answer to that. I mean, it's sort of a chicken and an egg question because we don't really know how many volunteers we'll have. And so I think, you know, we don't know whether or not we'll need a steering committee. We're assuming we do. But what if we don't?
But you could put in something to that says effectively, depending on the size of the task force, of the amount of volunteers that end up being a part of this, it may be necessary for efficiency purposes to then set up a steering committee.
I see.
So you're not saying we won't have a steering committee. You're just saying, well, let's see how many people are there. And if there's, obviously, if there's 35 or 40 or whatever, handling all their opinions all the time is out of the question. You need a steering committee.
Let me do some what do others think? I mean, I could do some changes where, you know, we talk about our expectations and then, you know, based on those expectations, then there could be, you know, a need for a steering committee for efficiency. In that case, it would be comprised as follows. And that would just really be just like adding a sentence in before we talk about the steering committee. And the group as a whole, I think we'd probably then have to take out the, I think we'd have to really separate out, first of all, that the OTF would have a chair who is a liaison to the GNSO Council and a vice chair, and not talk about that in terms of a steering committee, but say that those, and it would have a, staff, you know, ICAM staff liaison, because that would, you know, be something that we would definitely want to have. Then we could talk about how we want to recruit for the OTF, and then, you know, with that assumption, you know, that there may be a need for a steering committee, and if so, this is how the steering committee would be, you know, would be comprised. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
I think it does. This is Roy. I think it does because it leaves the language flexible.
Then let me work on that, and I started making a document.
Sorry.
And maybe that will address Carlos's concern, too, about, well, are we absolutely sure we need a steering committee? Well, we may not if we don't have a lot of people. We may if we do have a lot of people. We just don't really have the answer to that question until we get, you know, we recruit. Okay, so I'll make those changes. I'll send that around shortly. And then finally, on status reporting, and I thought this was a good point, we may not always have to be on the council agenda each time, and so, you know, there doesn't have to be an update as part of a council meeting. It could really even be just something that, you know, that I can change that wording. Go ahead.
Yeah, that it's included in the agenda has some value, because then it's a kind of an obligation of the revision of the situation. But it shouldn't be so tied to that, so more loose, more flexible. Perhaps you can change the wording with that.
I will do that. Let's see. Yeah, so it's where we say produce activity reports for GNSO, each GNSO council meeting. We could just say produce activity reports. I would say just say produce monthly activity reports for the GNSO council, and not say that that has to be done in.
Excuse me.
Because I think it would be kind of up to the council to decide whether or not something in the activity report warrants an item on the agenda. So I can build in some flexibility there.
Yeah, I think that we should be flexible. Could be in the council or agenda or not necessarily. But sometimes maybe that's not bad.
Okay. Any other thoughts? And let's see, Carlos was typing. If this number is short, the whole work group will be a steering committee, no need for another steering committee inside the steering committee. I think that's the same point, Carlos, thank you, that we were trying to make with the size of the steering committee. We don't know if we'll need it or not for sure. So I'll adjust the language accordingly.
So, Julie, again, you're the one to to carry in all the work.
What I'm here for.
Thank you so much for that.
Absolutely. Well, my pleasure. And so what I will do then to finish up here is I'm going to go ahead now in the next half hour work on changes to the document and get and also a suggested draft, a response email to Chuck to go along with that. I'll send that to all of you, And if everyone could take a quick look at that, I think we've pretty much talked through these changes, but just to make sure that I've captured them correctly, then what we could plan to do is later today, I could send I'd send the response and redlined document to Chuck for his review, copying this group, and then ask for a response by COB on Monday.
That would be great. So maybe we can send the document to the GNSO Monday.
Well, yeah, it could go Monday or, you know,
or Tuesday.
By Tuesday, and Tuesday is the document cutoff date, so it would get there in
great.
Time. So that would be good.
Okay. I think it's a very good plan.
Julie, one more quick thing.
Yes, please.
If I'm remembering correctly, that the document as it is, the one we were working on, had red lines?
Actually, no. The document that we were working on is the one that we sent to the council. You know.
So it's clean. So it's already clean.
So what Chuck saw was clean, but what I'm doing is putting red lines into it so you can see where we've changed.
Okay. That's okay. I just didn't want versions of red lines. Sounds great.
There's no. This will be the red lines will just be the new changes. So it's
okay. Easy. Thanks so much.
Sure. No, it's good clarification.
Okay.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining today. Olga, if there's nothing else, then
I
have a question.
Yeah, please go ahead,
sure.
Tony.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I probably missed some email. Is there going to be a meeting of will we be meeting on this subject in Dakar?
No, we decided that we could accomplish what we needed in this meeting. So unless others disagree, we don't have a meeting scheduled. What we'll try to do is get this on the agenda for the GNSL Council meeting for their meeting on the 26th.
Okay,
yeah,
fine.
It's very good.
That's clear. Thank you.
We're just so efficient, we don't need to meet again.
I can see that, yeah.
It's part of the efficiency and cost effectiveness of the outreach effort.
This has taken a long time. You know, Debbie and you, Julie, know this has taken a long time.
Yes.
So thank you very much, everyone, for especially you, Julie. As usual, it's lovely to work with you. And people have a nice weekend. And see you soon in Dakar.
Thank you, everyone. And you should see a document from me in the next half hour or
great.
So. And if you could give it a quick look and a quick turnaround, I'd appreciate that.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.